Well, let me start off with tobacco workers, because that's the campaign that we are fighting right now. Tobacco, of course, it has nicotine, and it goes through your skin. So the people that are out there in 110 degrees, after a couple hours, it becomes kind of like a tar, and it's really hard to take off. Some workers, they go back home, and they try taking it off, and they still have some residue in their hands. So it penetrates their skin. That's the bad thing about it, and that's where you get the it's called the green flu symptom. It you know, it gets you dizzy, you start feeling, you know, stomach flu symptoms, and of course it can even kill you. Every day you need to change your clothes, and some people that are out there in those camps, I mean, they're poor, and then they only have maybe a couple of clothes changed during the week, and they don't want to put all their clothes in it because of course it gets that tar. So you can imagine what it does to them.
So is this from the treatment on the tobacco or from the tobacco itself or a combination?
It's a combination because, of course, they have to treat it for insecticides. They have to treat it for all the weeds. They have to treat it to make it grow. From what I know, because I picked it myself, I was a migrant worker for 16 years, my family and myself. And that was one of the jobs that we only lasted maybe 3 weeks because it was such a bad crop to pick and so dangerous.
And there are between 10 and 20,000 pesticide poisonings in the agricultural industry every year. But you contend that's an underestimate.
Yes, I do. That's an underestimate. I was just in Washington, and we're trying to push the EPA, putting pressure on them so they can change the law that, you know, they can do changes to the training, to the videos that they show, and they haven't changed it for 20 years.
What specifically would you like to see changed in the way workers are trained to work with and around chemicals and some of these plants like tobacco?
I'm an organizer. I'm a field organizer. So I go and talk to every single person that comes here, well, every single worker that's under contract with us, with Flock. That is why it's very important, I think, that, you know, one way of stopping this retaliation is when people go to their supervisors or their bosses and tell them, look, I'm getting exposed to this, I'm getting rashes, I'm getting sick, I'm getting all this, and they get retaliated. Look, I can give you 1,000 examples, but we don't have the time. And it doesn't affect you. That's the problem with pesticides. It doesn't affect you. Like, it's not like a gunshot that you're going to die right away once you touch it. No, it's going to take a little bit of time. And some of these workers are dying because they're afraid of saying something. And then again, they need to feed their family. They need to put food on their table,
sure,
just like everybody else. And they're afraid. They're afraid of saying something. There in D.C., I could hear the stories saying, and I could remember myself. I almost cried when I heard the stories because it reminded me. And it got me mad because after 25 years, it's still going on. My voice was, how many more people are going to die from this?
You can find out how to get more information about the Farm Labor Organizing Committee and this story on our website at WNKU.org under Regional News. Mario Vargas, thank you very much.
Hey, it was a pleasure being here.